Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, this is Larry Sonnenberg, not Steve, and this is New Life Live, and I'm blessed today. I got Dr. Dave Stoop on my left.
Hey, Steve.
Okay,
I did it again.
You did it. Okay.
Habit. Bad. Hey, right. Larry, how are you doing?
That's okay. John, we're doing just fine. Mylon, how are you today?
Let me help everybody. Yeah. Larry's in the middle, Dave's on the left, and Mylon's on the right. So, hi, Larry. It's great to be with you. Well, and Dave, it's always good to be with
it's
you.
It's great to be here.
Yes, it is a Friday, and we're glad to be with all of you.
Right. Yeah. We are going to go to the calls in just a couple minutes here, but I do want to, I want to talk about our appeal for Club New Life members early in the program so we can go right on to the calls the rest of the program. So Club New Life, if you haven't been listening for a while and you don't know what it is, it's a monthly giving program. We ask you to make a commitment to give every month through a credit card or automatic withdrawal from your account. And then we have an amazing thank you gift. And there are 8 books that we offer for you. And see if I can do this by memory. The 8 books are Changes That Heal.
Is not a good way to do something off when you're working off your memory.
Changes That Heal. Mm-hmm. Boundaries. Mm-hmm. How We Love. Mm-hmm. Healing Is a Choice. Forgiving What You Never Forget. Intimate Deception. Every Man's Battle. And Secrets Women Keep.
Nicely done.
How about that?
Larry? Good job.
Those 8 books are a library that would cover most any situation in life you have to deal with or you're struggling with. And I want to encourage you, all you have to do is sign up for Club New Life, and those 8 books belong to you. We'll send them to you.
Now, there's a reason for people to sign up for Club New Life, which is this radio station that you're listening to pays a lot of money to be on the air.
Most of them, that's true. There's some that are not.
But we have to pay out a lot of money to be on the air. And so it is not just asking for money. It is distinctly for the purpose of airtime and what it costs to put the show on and all of those things. This is not an outfit that spends money frivolously. And I want to encourage you that this is for a good reason.
Thank you. Good cause. Thank you. And the reason we want to keep doing this is because it's changing people's lives. Mm-hmm. God comes in and does a work when we present the opportunities and the direction, instruction, the coaching. And we see God do an amazing work. That's why we're doing what we're doing. Now, in addition to the benefit for just joining, we have a great video library. And both of you guys have given to it by doing some videos for us. We've probably got over 200 videos now. I've lost count that are on there and counting. We add some every week. So I just want to encourage you to take a look at that. We do a Club New Life CD. You can either download it or we'll send it to you. And it has some radio phone calls on it. It has teaching. It has interviews. It has what's going on at New Life. And we do that every month. So, and then we have quarterly resources. We offer discounts on workshops for Club New Life members. And if you order something from New Life over the phone, we can get you free shipping. Technology hasn't kicked in enough, or we've been too cheap to buy it to make it happen if you order online. But please sign up for Club New Life. It makes a huge difference in what we're able to do and how we're able to finance New Life. So thank you for that. Today starts Every Man's Battle. If it's early enough in the day where you're hearing this, you might be able to get a last minute in. But pray for the guys that are coming and pray for their wives. It's a big, big deal. And besides that, I think that we're going to give you a special bonus when you make a gift to New Life. I'll tell you about that when we come back.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt love.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, September 20th to the 22nd.
We're going
to
talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. The bonus I was talking about before we went to break was if you make a gift to New Life, we'll send you a book to say thank you. That is Take Your Life Back Day by Day. It's a 365-day devotional. Steve Arterburn and Dave Stoop wrote that, and it will minister to you. Promise you. Let's go talk to Becca. Becca is calling from Houston, Texas on Sirius XM. She listens. Hi, Becca.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm a fairly on and off regular listener. I am in my early 50s. I have an adult disabled, mentally disabled son in his late 20s. He works part-time Monday through Friday. He's very social. He loves to go out with his friends to different various events and movie watchings and that kind of thing, getting together with, you know, at their houses and so forth. Well, I was just talking to my husband earlier in the week after the major shootings that had happened last weekend.
Mm, yeah.
And I
really hit you, huh?
Yeah, it did. And here's the thing, is like I've been a believer for over 26 years and I lead a women's Bible group in my community, and I know how faithful he is. He's brought me through so much in my past. I'm also a breast cancer survivor. And I just know all these horrific events in my own life that he's brought me through, the Lord has. But I'm also human. And, you know, here's my son going out every day of the week to work and then wanting to continue to be social. And I want him to. My husband wants him to. But I'm sitting here talking to my husband a few days ago and just going, how do I move forward and not be worried? You know, I mean, I know what I know, but then I also am in the world, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does make sense. And it's okay to have a little worry once in a while, a little anxiety, I should say, but you don't want to live there. And Mylon, you've dealt with anxiety a lot in your past. What would you speak to?
Becca, there is... We have to ask ourselves an interesting question. I ask this a lot in my office of the clients I work with. And what's as good as it gets in this world? You know, Steve was sharing with us on a previous show that we're not needed anymore, Steve Arterburn. And what's the most I can expect in this world? It's a world where there is loss is going to be a consistent theme, where it is anxiety producing to live here because we don't know what might happen. It's an uncomfortable existence. It isn't heaven. This isn't our final place where there is perfect peace. And so to accept that there is uncertainty as I enter out into the world, you know, I had a disabled sister, and she got on into a van every day, too, and went to her workshop, and she was very social, and she loved her people that she worked with, and she was just in a great county program. And it's hard to let our children and people we love that you've taken such good care of this son, how do I let him go out into a world where he's exposed to evil? And it's a great question. It's done with some fear, and it's done with the realization that there's so much that I cannot predict here. I just have to trust the Lord. But to acknowledge where you're at, I love that you called here. I love what you said. I love the question you're asking. It's a tension-filled world we live in.
Well, Dave? I think it's important, Becca, that you talk with your son about what to expect out there, especially because of his limitations. He needs to have a strategy for dealing with it that mm-hmm. you've talked with him about, and you've probably done a lot of this, and I just encourage you to keep doing it because that's what's going to make the difference for him. And then the hard part is you got to trust that God will walk with him and keep him on the track and on the right path.
Becca, we have some 10 tips that we offer, and I'm going to encourage that we send you a couple of these. We have terror-busting scriptures, 10 terror-busting scriptures. And we've got 10 scriptures to overthrow worry. And I think those might be good for you, just to give you a little bit.
Be good for our son, too.
Yeah, more of a sense of peace than what I'm hearing that you have right now.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. And I could really use your prayers. And just, you know, I know this will pass, but then, you know, watching and hearing, I don't even watch the news, but just hearing it on the radio and, you know, all the stuff that's happening, it's makes this mother's nerves jump.
You know, Becca, I think this is something for you as well as for many of the people that are listening to this show. People can be traumatized by actually seeing trauma on TV, witnessing it, that we are traumatized by the association with or the knowledge of the event. It is so frightening. I remember watching 9/11 occur, and you know, my daughter just stared at that, and she was, I think, 9 years old at the time, and she went off to school and then came home, and she looked at me, and she just ran into my arms and just laid there and sobbed for an hour, you know, at what she saw. And so we have to be able to really be present for people and process, have people to talk to. And then if necessary, based upon the severity of my trauma, I just might need to go talk to someone. I might need to get some. And there are people that just beautiful people and therapists that specialize in trauma, and they can help desensitize a bit the shock that my brain registers and holds on to. Sometimes if we're stuck for a long time, we need to get some help.
Well, it's also one of the things that I've been doing lately is not watching television for this, but I'll listen to a news report on the radio because the visual is not necessary.
Right.
And to hear the things that they show and hear, it's a little too much.
Yeah. It's hard to do, though, when the whole thing is it takes over the programming for 24 hours at least.
Yeah.
It takes over everything, doesn't it, Dave?
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of other things, though, you can tune into, so... Well, thank you so much for your call, Becca. We're going to go and talk with Angela. Angela's in Vero Beach, Florida, listens on the web. Hello, how can we help you, Angela?
Well, we all, as a nation, we're going through this grief and sorrow over what has happened in Ohio and in Texas. And initially, I was going to make a comment, but I think there's a bigger question here. And the question is, why is the church so silent in the mainstream explanation of what is going on? Now, you listen to the media, and the media has its pundits. The political dramas are there with their tune. The cultural groups are there with their tune. And every, you know, A-lister, Hollywood A-list, everybody is giving their opinion as to what is going on in our society. But the church is void of a voice. I'm not hearing a clarion song. And the reason why I'm concerned, there's a story in the book of Acts. When the Holy Spirit came upon the new believers, the people who were in Jerusalem started sounding the statement that these men are filled with wine. Mm. But there was a clarion voice that came up, and Peter says, no, these men are not drunk with wine. This is what was spoken of the prophet. And so where is the church saying, what we're looking at, it's not supremacy, it's not gangs, it's not black, it's not white, it's not Democrat, it's not Republican, it's not female, it's not male. It's just plain old evil. Where is the church saying that in the mainstream of giving an explanation for what we are going on, what is going on in our culture?
Well, I think you're asking important questions, Angela. And I think part of the answer is the church is afraid to speak out because they get ridiculed, they don't get listened to, they get opposition to their position, and we've in a sense given up. And I think you're right on. There's a clarion call that says we need to speak up as a body of believers, and we don't have any real spokesperson that's articulate enough to stand for the whole congregation of believers.
So how do we change that? How do we change that? Because that has to change if we're going to be salt.
Well, I think we got to ask ourselves questions as to what we're afraid of and move against that fear. And take the ridicule, take the response that comes, and stand firm in terms of what we're saying, and really get you'll get the message across to some people. Some will never listen because they're opposed to anything that's faith related. But there's people who are willing to respond if we speak up and speak clearly, and speak for God.
Mylon, you have some.
Angela, you did a beautiful job of expressing a powerful question and really stating the essence of what's going on here. Mm-hmm. It's not any of the issues that we typically bounce around on TV and the media. It's really the presence of evil, and the world does not have an ability to describe or define that. Hollywood does not. Hollywood does not. The media does not. Evil does not exist. There was a book written by M. Scott Peck called The Road Less Traveled. It was a book that was very famous. But then there was a second book that he wrote called People of the Lie, in which he, as a professional person who was a psychiatrist in the medical field, all of a sudden came to the realization there was this thing called evil in the world, and his professional preparation had not educated or elucidated that knowledge, and he came to a place where he realized it's powerful. Now, Peter was an evangelist, okay? Angela, it sounds like you might be one too. But people have to rise up with a strong voice wherever we're at, wherever anybody will listen, whenever anybody is talking. Peter responded to a murmurs in the crowd and shouts from the crowd. He responded to something that was happening right then, right there. The majority of people, as Dave said, we don't have the courage to speak. And we need to learn to, even if, Angela, one day it cost me my own life. I've really had to think this through. I will speak when I'm in a place and I see there's an opportunity to do so. There's a total absence. The church is, if you will, in many cases, impotent to help because the church has gone soft.
I've told some friends of mine, and this is not true of every church.
It's not. I'm speaking just kind of globally.
No, but what I was going to say is that the world has influenced the church more than the church is influencing the world today.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's what you're speaking to, I think, Angela. We need to reverse that.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, the church has
Maybe this would be the starting place for that.
Angela, thank you for your clarion call.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
You Bye-bye. Too. Book for Angela. Oh, my goodness. What? This is a little unique. And so...
Heck, I want to send her a gold medal.
Yeah.
she doesn't need a book. She needs an award. I mean, she's got the clearest voice on this thing right now.
Yeah, she really does.
Yeah.
We're going to send her People Fuel, John's latest book.
That's a good idea.
That just might help her out a little bit along the way here. Well, we are appreciative of your support at New Life. We can't do what we do without your support, and your support changes lives. So I want you to be encouraged to give, and we'll send you Take Your Life Back Day by Day, a 365-day devotional. And we have coming up next month, Finding Freedom. It's going to be in Dallas, Texas, a workshop. And whatever you're dealing with in your life struggles, that this workshop will help you. We'll be back right after this.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Columbus, Ohio, October 25th to the 27th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. You know, after speaking with Angela, we want to talk just a little bit here about anxiety. We've talked about the church and the church not standing up as much as we think it ought to, or as Angela thinks it ought to. And again, if you're a pastor, if you're a church leader, we are not talking about every individual church. We're just talking about the cultural effects of what's going on with the church. And so, but anxiety because of these shootings that have happened has really been raised up a level. And we just wanted to talk a little bit about that before we go back to some calls. So, Mylan, why don't you take the lead, and then we'll talk, see what Dave has to say. Just a minute. If somebody's feeling anxious, they get triggered by something. Where do they go to begin with?
Well, let me start off in a slightly different place.
All right.
In my quiet time this week, I was reading through James and the book of James, and you know, there's a tension there because we're told to not be an adulteress with the world, to We're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. And that friendship with the world is hostility toward God. So let's just start off with the difficult position we're in as believers, because this is all we know. Most of us haven't seen heaven. We weren't in Eden. We weren't with Adam and Eve before the fall to have experienced what it feels like to have perpetual eternal life and the promise of that. Evil entered in, Satan entered into the picture and disrupted the original creation of God. Now, is God out of control there? No. Because the Bible says clearly in many places, including the book of Revelation, that Jesus was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. So God knew ahead of time all of this. But how do we live in the world and yet not of the world? And that tension creates anxiety, distress, mental anguish, and angst. How do we live and move in this? And I'm simply broadening it out a bit to say it is a hard thing to do, and it requires, I liken it to a tightrope and then a big balance bar. I have to stay on balance all the time, you know, trying to walk across a tightrope. Dave, what do you think? You're a great theologian here.
Well, one of the things that I think important is to describe anxiety. Anxiety doesn't have a focus. I'm anxious not because I'm expecting somebody to become a shooter in my presence, because that would be more fear, because there's a specific object that I'm afraid of. The anxiety is just a general feeling of uneasiness, of fearfulness over who knows what. It doesn't have a focus. It's generalized. Mm-hmm. And so things can happen in our culture that strike fear, but the fear quickly becomes anxiety because it's not related to what actually happened. It's related to what it represented, what happened, what that represented. And so there's not much of a strategy that we can fight against it because we don't know what it's all about. That's why I think we say it so often that connection is so important, is because when I'm in a connected relationship with people that care about me and I care about them, I can bring the anxious thoughts to them, and they can either articulate what it is I'm afraid of, or they can articulate why I don't need to have that feeling of anxiety.
Two thoughts come to my mind, what you were saying, Mylon. One is that God knew, you know, from the beginning that Jesus would be the Lamb of God. And that doesn't click with our mind when we think, that if God knew that, why did he let that happen? Mm-hmm. And people get hung up on having to know why and thinking they have to know exactly what God was thinking and how it worked.
I love why questions, because the way to answer a why question is, but why?
Yeah.
it goes in a circle. It never satisfies. There's no answer that adequately satisfies the why. And so we have to take the why and change it into a what next.
Right.
And what are we going to do about it? And I think the anxiety thing is, what am I going to do about my anxiety? Well, I'm going to bring it into relationship with somebody that will reassure me, that will stand with me, that will let me know that I'm connected to somebody that cares about me and I can care about them.
So to your point earlier, Dave, about saying, this was on another show, I believe, that you talked about us being pilgrims here. Mm-hmm. We are pilgrims. Earth is not our home.
That's right.
And so in that sense, when James says, be in the world but not of the world, I have to ask myself, who is my God? Who is my Lord? Who is the one I will choose to follow? And in so doing, I have to declare my allegiance as a pilgrim. And Dave, I've heard you say this many times, our citizenship is in heaven. And that's one of the things we have to get cleared up first, as a part of this anxiety. And to your point on that, Dave, I've got to hang out with other pilgrims and say, you know, what do you feel? What's the conflict that you feel? So we can understand that what we feel is shared It's common. It's not easy to live here as a Christian. It would be worse to live here as not a Christian.
It would.
And I can see why many people, unfortunately, have no solutions, and they end up doing drastic things, in many cases, even taking their own lives, because they don't have any answers for anything.
Yeah. Well, there's one other thought I want to follow up on that you talked about, the metaphor of the balancing act and being on the high wire.
Okay.
Because there's an aspect of that that as Christians we need to think more about than we
do.
And
I hate heights, by the way. Yeah, I would never do that. I just use it as a metaphor.
Okay, we'll be back.
Most of my life I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. And before we go back to the calls, real quick, Mayan was talking about anxiety, and as a Christian, we're walking this balancing act because we're supposed to be in the world but not of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about doing that balancing act on a high wire is, as a Christian, we have a net underneath us.
Mm-hmm.
And that net is Christ. He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And we feel sometimes that he does. And you know, Psalm 23 answers a lot. And mm-hmm. one of the things I love about Psalm 23 is it says that we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And we want God to remove the valley. But we are called to walk through it, and he'll be right there with us.
That's a great line, because it doesn't say he's going to throw us a rope ladder to climb out of
it,
or a helicopter, or anything else. He just says, I'll be with you. That rod and the staff, they comfort me there. And so learning to tolerate being in the valley of the shadow, realizing there's the presence of the Lord and other people who mm-hmm. can be around me to help hold me onto that balancing act.
It's a little crude what I'm going to say right now, but it's appropriate. It comes from our Everyman's Battle Workshop mm-hmm. and our discussions. We tell men they have to learn to live in the suck. You know, life sucks. And there's times where you, and they deserve the suck they're living in because of what they did, most of these guys. But sometimes we just have to learn to live in those bad spots and walk through it and count on God helping us. Well, let's go talk to Eileen. Eileen's on line one. She's in Tustin, California, and listens on KKLA. Hello, Eileen. How can we help you?
Hi. Yes. This is the third time calling, and I thank God for your whole team. I pray for you, all the hosts and your families, and for your ministry. I thank God for you. You are the biggest blessing to us. And
well, I tell
everyone about it, and I tell them this is the best on-air Christian counseling program, and, oh, they'll be abundantly blessed. Thank you so much. Whom do I have the honor of consulting today?
Well, Mylon Yurkovich and Dave Stoop are sitting with me. I'm Larry Sonnenberg.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. I'm calling to consult all you wise and godly counselors about my mother. My mother has been in a spiritual warfare. She has everything to say against God and the Bible and Christians and attacks on the church as well. She usually lives in Hawaii, but she's back in California during the summer, and so every summer it's a very big challenge for myself, my brother, and my sister-in-law who live here. And this is the situation recently. The condo that I'm living in right now is her investment home. She wants to sell it, and she wants me to move into her condo. And she's only here during the summer, so she'll be returning to her home in Hawaii in a month. And she said, she really wants me to move in, and she said she's only here during the summer. So that's the situation. So my question is, shall I move in with her? Because to honor her, to make her happy. So far, everyone except for my dad, they've been divorced for many years. Except for my dad, who wants me to move in and take care of her, because that's been very consistent. That's very consistent message. Otherwise, everyone else has been saying no, because my mother is a very abusive person in my life and has caused a lot of hurts, and because she has gone through a lot of trauma since childhood and in her marriage and throughout life, and she hasn't accepted Jesus' grace. So she has caused a lot of trauma to myself and my brother and my sister-in-law. So a few years ago, upon her invitation, I moved in with her and as a tenant, paying rent, and I stayed with her for 3 weeks. And during that 3 week stay, and then later she drove me out, but during that 3 week stay, one day, my heart could not handle. I experienced 10 times of chest pain, and I never had any problem with chest or blood or heart or blood pressure or anything. And I consulted my doctor if stress could cause chest pain, and he said definitely.
Okay, Eileen, so we really get the picture. Dave, I want you to talk about this, because
thank you. I'm all ears, and I have my pen here. So,
well, the word honor in the Old Testament is an interesting word, because if I was to translate the literal meaning of the Hebrew word, it would be to honor what is honorable, or to give weight to what is weighty. You only honor what is honorable in a parent. You don't honor what is dishonorable or what was destructive. And you say that your mom is abusive. You respond to it in terms of your health, and I don't think moving in with her is an example of honoring her. I think that's kind of it's anything but honoring her. Because about all you can honor somebody who's been abusive for is for giving you life, for making sure you had a place to live growing up, and were launched into adulthood. And that's about the extent of it. You certainly don't honor them for their abuse.
You know, Eileen, it's interesting that your dad wants you to move in so you can take care of your mom.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, by divorcing her, he doesn't have to, you see. He's already checked out, and so apparently have your other siblings as well. And so you're getting this family pressure to do something because you're a nice person. I can tell by your voice and what you say. Mm-hmm. You're a very nice person. But it's easy for you to be taken advantage of. It's easy for people to push you into a position, and because you'll get stuck right here. How do I honor her? Because I want to do what God wants. So I think Dave is right. You have to understand that God's not calling you to anything other than to care for her in terms of a, if you will, this is important to hear, from a little bit more of a distance. I've had to do that with some family members as well, where I made sure they were well taken care of, but I wasn't living with them at the time. And I think you shouldn't allow somebody that has given you physiological distress to the point you had to go to the hospital, that should be a standard fare for you for 3 months out of the year. I wouldn't do it.
It'll destroy you. It could kill you, and that's not exaggerating that because of the symptoms you described.
Right. It is not dishonoring to make sure that your parents are well taken care of, but at the same time, saying, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that, but I'll help you find somebody else maybe that could move in. And maybe she'll be less abusive to a stranger.
But it sounds like that's been kind of your assigned role, Eileen.
Yeah, your family role.
You're going to be the one that takes care of Mom.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that that's what you do.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Thank you, Eileen. Appreciate your calling. I think we should send Eileen boundaries. I think that might help you understand how to navigate this with your family, with your mom, and the whole situation. So thanks a lot for calling.
Yeah, because Eileen is going to also have to say no to her mom, her dad, siblings. Her siblings,
yeah.
And other people that are going to, to your point, Dave, want her to get back into that family
role
of being the one that is going to smile and caretake everybody.
Mm-hmm. Before we take our next caller, it'll probably be our last caller, I want to just encourage folks, whatever you're dealing with in life, if it's, like we talked earlier, anxiety, or if it's anger, if it's fear, if it's an addiction, if it's whatever it is in your life, if you're just feeling stuck, give us a call at 800-NEW-LIFE, 800-639-5433. That's what we're there for. These folks can help you with a resource, and our resources are varied. It might be a 10-tip sheet. It might be a book. It might be a workshop. It might be referring you to a counselor. But whatever your need is, you know, in a recent interview for Club New Life, we talked a lot about counseling and the fear some people have of just making that first call. And we can help you with that. We can help you know what to say, how to ask, how to interview the counselor. So we would like you to call when you need help. That's what we're here for. And if you're able to go above and beyond just to call looking for resources, we're looking for Club New Life members. Club New Life members, $30 a month or more. We have the 8-book set that we talked about at the beginning of the show as a thank you gift for joining Club New Life. And we would love it if you would join Club New Life. It means people's lives will be forever changed. You have heard testimonies on this program. We quite often talk about the difference God makes in people's lives because they took a step and they looked for some help. And they found it through this ministry. And we can do that because you're supporting us. So please consider joining Club New Life. And we're going to be back right after this, and we're going to talk to Jerry. So hold the line.
She said, we need to talk. She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. Larry Sonnenberg sitting in for Steve today. We've got Milan Jurkovic and Dave Stoop sitting next to me. We're going to talk to Jerry. Jerry's in Indianapolis, Indiana, listens on WBRI. Hello, Jerry. How can we help you?
Yes, how are you? I was calling. I have a 28-year-old son that's been diagnosed with bipolar disorder back when he was 19 years old. But the thing is now, as time go on, he doesn't really want to do much of anything. Now I've been taking care of him up until really last year. I made him get his own apartment once he got a job, and he spends more time trying to collect disability versus trying to work. He's been denied disability over and over and over again, and this last bout, I believe I visited his apartment one time. It smelled like marijuana, and it seems as though he's been drinking. And so I told him that I wasn't paying anything else anymore. And so now at this point, he's homeless. And his mom tried to make me feel guilty about it, but I'm thinking that this is now a learning lesson for him because he has nowhere to really go. But I still stay in contact with him and tell him, hey, I love you, but this is a time that you got to get yourself together. And it makes me feel guilty as a parent, but I like to think that I'm doing the right thing for him because he's not going to learn. He's going to be 30 before you know it, and he's going to continue to be doing the same thing. And I'm going into my retirement years, and all of the money I put in on him could have been ready for my retirement.
Well, Jerry, you're asking whether you're at fault in this?
I'm asking, am I going about this the right way when I just allowed him to go homeless so
yes.
that he can straighten his life out?
And no matter if he's bipolar, there's not much that you can do because they're non-compliant with the medication that would make them feel like normal. And he avoids being normal because then he has to take responsibility, I would guess. And so you're doing the right thing. And it's a common response, unfortunately, with people with that disorder. And there's not much you can do beyond that. He could be living with you and still doing the exact same thing in terms of not taking his meds, not being responsible, not wanting to make a living, wanting to live off the public dole, in a sense.
What would you add, Milo?
Well, I think something like Al-Anon, where we are really attempting to recognize that we're trying to deal with somebody that doesn't want to recognize they have a problem. And to be able to go to some place like Al-Anon or a place for Jerry to go to Al-Anon to get the support of other people who feel drawn toward trying to help somebody who doesn't want to help themselves. And I had some close friends recently who had to make a decision, and they joined a group like that, which they said was very powerful in helping them learn to separate from their adult their adult son, who was really behaving just a lot like your son is, and they had to decide they must separate and let that person learn some of the consequences and the logic of life's consequences if we don't perform. So it'll help you have the freedom. Otherwise, as Dave said, you're going to be supporting him the rest of your life, because he'll rely on that dependence.
If you started that, it'd never end.
Right, it would never end.
This is akin to what you did with your son when he was having a struggle.
Yeah, it made a world of difference, because he finally ran out of options and had to do something different than what he had been doing for too many years.
And through that time, you didn't break relationship with him, but you had to say some tough no's.
Well, we had months where we didn't know whether he was dead or alive.
Is that right?
But we finally got into a program that made us aware of our role that we were playing. And so when Mylon's suggesting that he goes to Al-Anon, that's going to be the game changer. And it may actually have an effect on your son, Jerry, but it may not. Maybe he's just choosing to live that way, and he'd rather be homeless. And a lot of homeless people are just like him. They're refusing to take their meds, and they're suffering from some kind of mental disorder, and rather live on the street than do something constructive about their problem.
I hope that helps you, Jerry.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's disappointing, though, but yes, I understand.
Okay.
Well, if anything's going to change his behavior, it's going to be what you're doing. And so you got to keep doing what you're doing, because that's the only hope that you have, is that somehow it'll get through to him and he'll change. But he may not ever change.
Did you say your son was bipolar?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying to think if we have understanding and loving a person with. I don't remember if we have bipolar.
I don't think so.
So, okay, let's send you.
Take your life back.
Yeah, let's do take your life back. I think that might help you to think about responding rather than reacting. And I just love that about that book. Mm-hmm. That's a big, big deal in life. So, I want to talk about a scripture that we can, it's been a tough week with El Paso and with Dayton. And Mylon, you mentioned the Encinitas, you were affected with friends who lives were lost, and that cliff fell down. But God, in Isaiah, he writes, "The Lord has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to announce that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to those who mourn, that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, I will give beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of despair. For the Lord has planted them like strong and graceful oaks for his own glory." That's Isaiah 61, 1-3. And you know, what an encouragement that is. In the midst of our mourning, God promises that there will be a time of praise and a time of joy and beauty for ashes. And I just want to encourage our listeners to keep perspective. Remember that God said he'll never leave us or forsake us. Remember he said, "I will never fail you. I will never forsake you." That's why I say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, so I will not be afraid." So I hope that you can take heart with that as we come to a close here today.
You know, that passage of Scripture acknowledges that there is the presence of pain that God delivers us from.
Right.
And so, Dave, back to that question of the why is we do it. I love something you said earlier, Dave, where you said, we have to just understand what God's word says and understand what the facts are. You know, we have to just accept the truth that is given to us. And the reality is, this is a painful place in which we live.
Yep.
And the answer is usually fairly simple for us, going back to God's word and his promises and his assurance in life. So
trust God and be obedient.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And with that, we're going to come to a close for this hour. Thank you. We love what we do. If you have it within your ability and willingness to make a gift to New Life, it makes all the difference in what people experience when they come in contact and our lives intersect with theirs. So thanks for listening, and we'll be back on Monday. God bless.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.